there, and thank you for tuning into this week's talk. We are so pumped you decided to join us. To get the full experience out of today's message, we recommend downloading or opening up the Church on the Ridge mobile app, where you can fill out notes and take them with you throughout the week. Without further ado, here's this week's talk.
It's really great having you. Thank you for joining us today. By this time next year, guess what we will be? Right here. Some of you have no faith at all. We are going to be in our new facility, and God has given us that facility. Not so, yeah, it's going to be exciting. Thank you for supporting that and being a part of Cornerstone for Generations and Cornerstone for Generations 2.0. And today we're going to announce Cornerstone for Generations 3. No, I'm kidding. We're on our way. Things are moving along. You can when you leave here this morning, turn to the right. Don't go to the left. Turn to the right. And when you drive by, pray over it, because it is constantly under frustration and attack and all the stuff that happens. But as we continue to trust the Lord and pray over that thing, it will continue to get completed and finished. And sometime, May, somewhere in the middle of the year, we will be in that building and inviting our friends and neighbors to come and join us for our grand opening. Sound good? Yeah, great. Everybody have a good experience this Christmas? Yeah, I asked you that. And I told you my kids are home, and it's such a joy. Pastor Katie is here. She serves in a great church at Victory in Lakeland, Florida, and Caleb supports her, and he teaches school in a... You teach, yeah, okay, I'm getting it right. He's got one more semester before he gets his teaching degree, so he's got it to another semester of college, and we're going to have fun coming out and watch him graduate and enjoy. It's just fun having family. I'm sorry I'm nostalgic and just reminiscing. Let me get on with church. This morning, we have the real privilege of having Dr. Bob Harrison with us, but let me tell you a little bit about him, because I didn't know a lot about him, but every time I would mention a name or talk about somebody from my past, Rock Harrison would come to me and go, "Oh, man, my dad knows him. Oh, my dad and he have taught around the world together. Oh, my dad." And he keeps talking about his dad. He goes, "Rock, I don't believe you really have a dad, because you keep talking about him the whole day." He goes, No, I've served in his ministry for years, and we were doing all this stuff around the world." I said, "Okay, well, introduce him." So about a month ago, Rock, you and I got to have lunch with your dad, and I got to meet him. He's legit. He's the real deal. And I got so excited, because he has been in the presence and has been friends with people that I idolized in an inappropriate way as a young man growing up in ministry, and seeing these people of faith that I went, wow, I want to be like that guy. Wow, I want to learn from that guy. And I've read their books and listened to their teaching. And now to have Dr. Bob Harrison with us is really, really a great privilege. So I want you to welcome him, my new friend, Dr. Bob. We've got friends and acquaintances from all kinds of different places. So welcome him in Jesus' name. As he comes to talk to us, Dr. Increase. God bless you, my brother. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for serving us.
Testing? Yeah. The date was November the 11th, 1990. The place was Tokyo, Japan. The event was a heavyweight fight between the reigning champion, Michael Tyson, and challenger, Buster Douglas. For Tyson, it was a warm-up fight, getting ready for his fight with Evander Holyfield. For Douglas, it was a chance to make a name for himself. Tyson entered the fight undefeated. 37 fights, 37 victories. 33 of those victories were by knockouts. Douglas had already lost 4 fights. The odds of Douglas winning that fight in Las Vegas were 42-1. Let me monetize that for you. That means if you bet $2,500 that Douglas was going to win, and he won, your payout would be over $100,000. Douglas actually lasted in the fight longer than most people expected. He made it to the 8th round. But then Tyson finally floored him, and he's flat on the canvas, And the referee begins to count them out. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. But before he can get to 10, Douglas staggers to his feet. He's in a daze. You can tell he's not normal. And Tyson said, this is my chance to win the fight. He races over to do the final punch. Before he can get to him, the bell rings. Douglas came back out the next round. It was like he was a different man. He had fresh energy. He had vigor. He was punching. He was like he got rejuvenated. Something like something happened during between the rounds. And he knocked out Tyson and won the fight. To this day, that fight is considered one of the greatest sports upsets in history. After the fight, a reporter was interviewing Douglas. And he said to him, what took place between those two rounds? What happened to you? You were knocked out. You were in a daze. And then you come out like a whole new fighter again. And here's what he said. He said, my mother was my biggest fan. He said, she invested in me. She took me to practices and took me to boxing clinics. My mother was going to be at this fight. But mother died a few weeks ago. She couldn't be here. He said, but before my mother died, she said to me, son, win that fight for me. He said, at first I heard the referee counting, but then his voice began to fade, and I heard my mother say, win that fight for me. Buster Douglas won that fight for one reason, and one reason only. Well, flat on his back, he discovered a why. A why to get back up. A why to move on. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Discovering a why that can give fresh motivation to your life, can help you to get back up, or can take you to another level if you're already going great. Discovering your why. And what a great message for launching into the new year. But first, I just want to say it's so great to be with you. I look at my family here. I feel like I just, you know, so many of them here. I got two rows of all family members. And I just want to thank you, Pastor, for just the faithfulness and the input you've put into this family. I've seen such spiritual growth in them being under your leadership. And if it's happening for my family, it's happening for yours. And I think we should just thank him for being so faithful to this ministry. Thank you so very much. But it's just so great to be in a place, a city whose name I can pronounce. I was telling earlier service, for several years I traveled with America's largest success seminars, and for 20 years I traveled with a great speaker named Zig Ziglar. And we were driving down I-95 to go to one of our meetings, and I said to the driver, there's our turnoff, Opa-locka. And the guy in the past, in the front seat said, no, it's not Opa-locka, it's Opa-locka. Then the guy in the back seat said, no, you're both wrong. It's Caribbean, it's Opa-locka, like cha-cha-cha. So I'm going to speak in the city. I have no idea how to pronounce its name. And we stopped to get a snack, and I called the manager of the restaurant over, and I said, sir, I'm confused. I need your help. Very slowly, will you please tell me exactly where am I? He looks at me kind of funny, and he says, Chick-fil-A. So I guess that's exactly where I was at. But before I start, let me just, I think it's good to give you a little bit of my background. I think when a meal's being served to you, it's good to know where the cook came from. I came out of the business background. My dad was a great theologian, a doctor of philosophy, a doctor of double doctorate degrees, and involved in the starting and pioneering many great ministries, Vanguard University, Full Gospel Businessman, Oral Roberts University. But I chose to go into the business world. And had an incredible opportunity one day. I had an automobile renting and leasing company, took a customer's car in to get service, and visited with the owner of the dealership that day and found out that that day he decided to close his store. They were out of money. The good salespeople had left. They still had over 100 of last year's new car models in stock, and it was 3 months into the next model year. 83 of those were 8-cylinder gas guzzlers. Gas prices had doubled in the 45 days previous, and nobody was buying the cars. The inventory was tied up. They felt it was an impossible situation. They phoned Chrysler and said, we're shutting it down. But in the conversation, he found out I just had a record-breaking month. And so before I left that office, he offered to give me, let me say this again, give me 22% ownership in his dealership if I would leave my leasing company to try and save his business. Talk about a change in one day. I take a car and I get service and I drive out as part owner of the business. But God can change your life that way in one day. It can be one meeting, one appointment, one idea, one strategy, and God can take your life to a whole different direction if you stay in the game. And so I didn't know what to do. My goodness, this expert hadn't been able to turn a dealership around. What am I going to do? But see, I had a secret partner. He's a partner that most of you here have too. My partner was the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in Daniel that God spoke to Daniel and gave him ideas and strategies. And I said, God, if you did it for Daniel, you can do it for me. And God gave us a plan. To make a long story short, we not only saved the dealership, and in 90 days' time, it skyrocketed to the top 10 in Southern California, and the following month, I bought the dealership. And that's how I got here, speaking to business groups and then leaving the business and launching years ago full-time into speaking around the country. I teach on, we'll come to that in a minute. The success we've had because of God's favor has just been tremendous. We've sold over 1 million audio programs. We've spoken to an audience of 20 and 30,000 people in paid seminars. Had our own national television program. We're headquartered in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but I actually live in Palm Springs area of Southern California. Love technology. You couldn't do this years ago. My first wife of 37 years who birthed our 5 children unexpectedly passed away in the year 2000. I went through several years of singleness and then remarried a person I'd known for many years, one of my wife's former best friends. And do we have a picture of the wedding? That's our picture of our wedding, and that's our family and our grandkids at the time. The family has increased because we now have 8 total. That's all married. That's 16 children, 22 grandchildren, and 5 great-grandchildren. So I don't have an SUV. I have a bus. I teach on the subject of increase. And I think it's important to understand what that term means because I can say a word and it can mean one thing to one person and another thing to another person. Kind of like this thing I saw recently about parking spaces reserved for green vehicles. So he had a different interpretation of what a green vehicle was. So what does increase mean? Let me tell you first what it isn't. Increase is not a teaching about making and getting more money. Now, many times finances is a byproduct of it. Like I'm speaking next week at a church in Phoenix, and one of their key business people sent me an email a couple years ago when they finished their taxes, actually a year and a half ago, and said, our drywall business was averaging $30,000 a month. He said, once we got a hold of this teaching and our vision and our thinking changed, he said, we increased. He said, this last year we averaged $500,000 a month. So those are the kind of changes we see. But it's more than that. It's every area of our life begins to experience increase. Here's Harvey wrote me. He said, within 6 months, my business doubled. That's the financial. Listen to the rest. I got more involved in my church, spiritual increase. My marriage has never been happier. My wife and I are acting like 2 teenagers running around the house in love. Marriage increase. I've been totally cured of cancer and I lost 75 pounds. Every area of his life changed because of it. So when you start thinking this way, you hear what other people hear. You see what other people see, but you have a different interpretation because prior to what you hear and what you see, you have been reprogrammed to think a different way. So they might hear a problem, you hear a solution. They hear a negative, you hear a positive. And because of that, your life takes on a different direction. It can affect every area of your life. It can affect even your travel. I could give you so many travel stories, but one of my favorite. I was speaking at a conference in Jamaica. It was in Montego Bay. The conference ended on Friday night. On Sunday morning, I was speaking at a church in the capital city of Kingston. So to get between the two cities, I had to fly Air Jamaica. So I go out to the airport, and I put my bag in the scale. And the lady says, that'll be $50. And it took me by surprise. Not that $50 is a lot of money, but I was taken by surprise because I hadn't been asked to pay for a bag in so long. Because part of increased thinking is figuring out ways to avoid expenses. You know, because if you don't have to spend something, that's increase also. And so I figured out ways how to travel on United, not pay for bags because I have a United credit card. Delta, not pay for bags because I have an American Express credit card. On American, I can check 3 bags, 70 pounds free. Now this lady's saying pay $50 for a bag. So I grab a hold of myself. Okay. So I go to pay for the bag. Now I want you to understand my thinking. My conscious mind is programmed to obey authority. But my subconscious mind is programmed to be thinking, is there another way? Is there another angle? Is there a plan B? Do you have to spend the money? Can you make money? I mean, it's always thinking this way. That's just the way it operates. It's been trained that way. So my conscious mind says, give her the credit card, pay the $50, and go to security. But well, it's heading towards her. My subconscious mind is saying, do you really have to? Is there another way? Is there a plan B? And so just before she grabs the credit card, my subconscious says, pull it back. And I pull it back. She looks a little startled. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I just thought of something. I said, in America, we have certain airlines such as Alaska Airlines. And if you get to the airport and they have empty first class seats, you can upgrade for as low as $50 to first class. I said, do you have a program like that? She said, yes, we do. She said, you could upgrade to first class for $50. I said, charge $50. I'm flying up front. She charges $50 for my upgrade. I take back the credit card. I say to her, first class passengers get free bags, right? She said, yes. Now, here's a picture of increase. I want you to catch this. In the back of the plane, people crammed six. They bought a coach ticket. They paid $50 to check their bag up front. Two of us, wide, reclining seats. One flight attendant for two people. We bought a coach ticket. We paid $50 for an upgrade. What separated the people from the back from the people in the front? It wasn't how we were dressed. It wasn't who we worked for. It wasn't how much money we made. It wasn't what we paid for the ticket. Only one thing separated those in the back from those in the front. Thinking. Oh, by the way, there were 8 first-class tickets. Only 2 of us were sitting there. Meaning 6 more people could have had a total different experience free if they would have had a different thinking. So when you get increased thinking, that's what it does to you. It just opens up a whole different lifestyle for you. I want to share to you with you this morning one aspect of increase. It's out of one of my favorite stories in the Bible on increase. It's found in Luke, the 5th chapter. And if you're not familiar with the story of Luke, the 5th chapter, it's a story of some businessmen who, and the business they were in was fishing, and they did what they'd done before and been successful, but this time they went out fishing and they caught nothing. They're getting ready to accept their empty nets and their empty boats and go home, and they had an encounter with Jesus. And as a result of that encounter with Jesus, he got them to go back out again, and they had the greatest catch of their life. In Luke, beginning in the first verse, it says, and it came to pass that the people pressed on him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake. And he saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. Let me stop here for just a moment, because there's some aspect of increase I want you to catch that is so powerful, I just don't want to pass it over. And that is, I want you to notice how they reacted to their empty nets. Jesus reacted to their empty nets and their empty boats. Actually, I want you to notice how it didn't react. Jesus did not say to them, Well, I see you have an empty boat and an empty net. That's just the way life is. Sometimes you make it, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're successful, and sometimes you fail. He didn't say to them, oh, I inspired somebody to write a song like this. And it goes like this, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, I want you to notice his reaction. Number one, he reacted. He acknowledged the empty boats and the empty nets. Having faith does not mean you deny the existence of a situation. It merely means there's a higher power that can change the situation you're dealing with. But the second thing he said, you might have empty nets now, but I don't want you to stay there. And if we look at Jesus' life in the New Testament, that is a pattern all the way through the New Testament. Wherever he found emptiness, he dealt with the emptiness and wanted the people to have increase. If they were out of wine, he multiplied the wine. If they were out of tax money, he told them where to find a fish for the tax money. If they were out of food, he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. If they're out of fish, he tells them where to take the boats to get a catch. And that Jesus still is interested in you. And maybe you're here today and you're in an empty net, empty boat situation. And I want to tell you that the key is don't park. Don't stay there. So many people, they start figuring out how can I stay here where I am rather than figure out how can I get out of here. Recognize that God wants you to increase. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, keep walking. He wants you to increase. We had a great speaker come to one of our Hawaii events, and he pastors a church of about 10, 15,000 people in the Atlanta area, Dale Bronner, Bishop Dale Bronner. And he shared the story of this man was at a carnival, and for some reason he was having a tough time, so he went to a fortune teller. And the fortune teller looks at his palm and says, doesn't look good. You're going to be broke and miserable for the next 2 years. And I said, oh, no. He said, but how about after 2 years? He said, oh, you'll be broke, but you won't be miserable because by then you'll get used to it. See, that's what happens to many of us. We get used to where we are rather than trying to strive where God wants us to be. Let's go on with the story. So then it says, then he entered into Simon's ship, and he prayed him or asked him that he thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for great increase. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have fished all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, of thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, so much so that the net began to break. And they beckoned to their partners in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so much so that they began to sink. This is not only a story of increase. This is a story of the why of increase. See, if you know, I have a saying I teach our people, if you know what to do, you'll normally have a job. If you know the why, you'll normally be the boss or the owner. Because see, if you know what, if there's a demand for your skill, you're employed. You'll make money. If you know why, you can take those skills and apply it in other areas. If you know why, you can become the boss because you can apply the knowledge. You can take the boss's place if he's not there. So I would say to you today, why does God want you to increase? We say he wants you to increase, but why? See, if you can determine why, it's life-changing. Mark Twain once said, two most important days of a person's life are when they were born and when they discover their why. Why are they here? Why does God want you to increase? We find the answer in verse 7. One of the things we teach in our seminars is that the real person is not the conscious mind person that puts on the image and watches the words and everything, but the real person is a subconscious person, which is where their belief systems are. And if you want to discover what somebody's really like, and to discover what you're really like, you need to find out what's down in the subconscious. The Bible says, as a person thinketh in their heart, in their subconscious, so are they. And one of the ways that you can discover that is observe what you or others, how they react in times of fear, in times of stress, in times of sudden change. So let's look at this story without understanding now. These fishermen are in a boat. It's in danger of sinking. What should be their reaction? Instinctively, how should they react? Number one, we got to save the boat. You know, we got to get this boat to shore. Because an empty boat is more valuable, that floats is more valuable than a full boat that sinks. Number two, we got to save our lives. You say, jump overboard. You got fish, you got nets, you got all this confusion going on. You could jump overboard and die. You got to get the boat to shore to save your life. Number three, they have the greatest catch they've ever had in their lives, but it's potential increase. It is only increase if they can get the boat to shore and sell the fish. So on the shore is the greatest payoff, the greatest bonus they've ever had in their life. Save the life, go to shore. Save the boat, go to shore. Get the greatest financial payoff we've ever had, go to shore. That isn't what they did. What does verse 7 say they did? It said they looked around and found a neighboring empty boat. They brought that boat over, and as a result, two boats are full and not one. And that's why God wants you to increase. It's not just so your boat can be full. He wants you to increase because around you are other empty boats, and they can only get full if your boat is full. Yes, if your boat is empty, you can row over to them or sail over to them, and you can love them, you can hug them, you can give them compassion, you can tell them you care, but you can't make a difference. But if your boat is full, you can do those things, but now you can say, let me help you. Let me help you get through this thing. We believe in you. And that's the why. See, I believe God has called everyone in this room to be a walking blessing machine. Increase is not about just getting more so you can have a bigger boat, a nicer car, bigger house, take longer vacations. That's all fine. But increase is about being able to be a blessing to the lives of other people. That's what God has called you to do. And that's the common why that all of us in this room have. Now, for weeks we've been thinking this way. How can I be a blessing? What can I get so-and-so for Christmas? How can I do this? We walk by the Bell of the Salvation Army. Maybe many of us put money in, or we have charities that we believe in, and we send money out, and we're doing this. And then all of a sudden Christmas comes, the New Year's comes, and we say, okay, we'll do that again next December. I don't believe that attitude we've had the last few weeks is just for Christmas. I believe that's a lifestyle that God wants us to live. That we wake up in the morning, and we don't just say, Lord, give me a blessing. Lord, I need money. But we say, Lord, direct my steps. Show me where I can be a blessing to somebody else. Show me where I can uplift somebody. Show me where I can help somebody go through a difficult time. It might only be words, but many times it's being able to reach into our pockets and make a difference. You know, Zig Ziglar one time had a great saying that I love. And if you're not familiar with the name Zig Ziglar, who was at the time was America's number one motivational speaker. And he talks about this concept. He says he defines success as the moment when opportunity meets preparation. And so I prepare myself to be a blessing. You know, I carry around extra $100 bills with me. I don't need more than one. Nobody knows what's behind that one. I could have one $100 bill and the rest of them be ones. You know, you don't know. But I carry extras. Why? Because I want to have them to give away. Now, I can give away fives, I can give away tens, but I found out there's something magical when you give 100 away. You know, it opens people's eyes, it creates an emotional implantation moment. But whatever it is, a five, a ten, or whatever, maybe do like I do. When I go to Hawaii, I buy hundreds of dollars of $10 Starbucks cards that you can only buy in Hawaii. And I carry a few of them with me to give away to people that give me good service. In other words, I live my life trying to be a blessing. I'm prepared to be a blessing. I was in Walmart a while ago, and I just wanted to get one thing. I just had a couple things. I was getting out there quick, and I tried to find the shortest line. Only two people in this line. I said, this must be the best line. So I get in this line. There was this lady. She had this shopping cart. She was holding this baby, And I thought, well, it wasn't going to go too bad. She goes, my item, I'm fine. I'm saying, I got to get out, I got to keep going. And then she starts paying with food stamps. And she gets food stamps and then cash. And then they totaled the two up and she didn't have enough money. And then they're starting to take groceries and put the groceries back out that she can get down to the amount of money she has, and I'm getting frustrated. And I just felt God said to me, you're not here to get frustrated. You're here to be a difference. And I pull out my credit card, stuck it in the machine, and said, this time we're buying your groceries. Save the stamps for next time. That's what I'm talking about. We live our life looking for opportunities to be a blessing. The Good Samaritan had no intention of being a blessing to a wounded man. He was going on a business appointment. The first person walked by and was too busy. The second person walked by and was too prejudiced. But the Good Samaritan, he went by and he helped that person. We say that's a story of compassion. But it's also a story of making a difference, because what does it say he did? It didn't just say he dressed the man's wound. He took him to a nearby hotel and paid for his care. He had the ability to be a difference, to make a difference because he had a difference. And that's what I believe God wants us to do. One of my favorite stores to go to is a store called Last Chance. It's in Phoenix. It is the outlet mall for Nordstrom's Rack. You know, if Nordstrom doesn't sell something, it goes to the Rack. What if the Rack doesn't sell it? Where does it go? It goes to Phoenix. And they mark this stuff down. I like it because every week they mark it down another 10% until they get rid of it. You know, some of the you can get ridiculous prices in some items. Sometimes I go there and I get nothing. Sometimes I go there and I hit a bonanza, you know, like a Tommy Bahama shirt clearance or something. But I remember a few years ago I was speaking in Phoenix and we went to the Last Chance. And I walked down and they had the whole lobby area out there with these backpacks. And you can see it just as far, almost as you can see. And they had Nike backpacks, Speedo backpacks, all these designer backpacks. They already marked them down. And they were like $8 to $10 each with price tags on them, $49 to $69. And I looked at it. I said, man, that is a deal. And I was thinking I could buy some for my grandkids. Then I said, no, that's such a deal. That's better than giving money. See those backpacks? I bought them all. I bought them all and distributed them in Honduras and Dominican Republic to Christian school kids. Because, see, when I saw that, I didn't just think of what can I do for me and my family. I thought of how can I be a blessing. That's what I'm talking about. But you might say to me, but Bob, I can't do that. I'm not there financially. Start where you are. Wherever you are, make a determination that in 2020, you're going to be a blessing. You're going to start thinking in terms of how can I make a difference every day to other people. But you say, I can't afford to do that. I'm barely making it. No, you need to understand the law of replenishing. God says, I will give seed to the sower. Say it with me, seed to the sower. Say it, seed to the sower. Now, I want you to understand that there's an order to this. If you get a recipe and you foul up the order, it's not going to work out. You know, I'm going to get some brownies later this afternoon, right, Ella? Yeah, and she's got a certain recipe. I've been told I'm going to get these. Yeah. So she's got a certain recipe that she follows. If she follows the recipe but changes the order, the brownies aren't going to work out. So there's an order to this verse, and it says, seed to the sower. We make a decision to be a giver. We make a decision to be generous. We make a decision to make a difference in the lives of other people. And God is going to replenish it. A great story of helping to understand that is in my book, PowerPoints for Increase. We have available back in the table if you want to get it. It's 101 Bible-based success strategies, all in two-page format. Leaders love it because they can read it real quickly. I recommend getting it. It's $20, but I recommend getting the audio download card. It's $37 and the book is free. And all 101 chapters are taught in 4-minute segments. And so we have that available back at the table. But my last chapter is chapter 101. Man gives 30 gallons of blood. According to the Red Cross, during his lifetime, an Oklahoma man has given over 30 gallons of blood. Wanting to do something to help his fellow man, Bernie Williams came up with the idea of donating his blood. Since blood can be donated only one pint at a time, in the last 50 years, Bernie has made over 250 visits to the blood bank. Let's go back there for a minute. Bernie goes into the bank. He walks into that place with 5 pints of blood. They hook him up. He sees blood going out. He walks out of that place with 4 pints of blood. Now, his normal mindset would say, I believe in this. I want to make a difference. I'm willing to live with 4 pints. But that isn't what happens. Within 48 hours, Bernie's blood is back to 5 pints again. And Bernie could go back into the bank again and give another pint of blood. And the blood is multiplied. And within 48 hours, he has 5 again. And he does it again. In 40 hours, he has 5 again. Because his body keeps replenishing what he gives. And that's the way God works in our lives. When you make a decision to be a giver, just like your blood replenishes, God is going to replenish it back into your lives. So I'm not teaching you how to have less. I'm teaching you a system in God's system for being a blessing and enabling you to be a blessing. But he doesn't just replenish, he multiplies. The Bible says he gives back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So my challenge to you this week, this year, make your why being a blessing. Say more than ever before, I'm going to look for opportunities to help and be a blessing in the lives of other people. If you do that, God is going to bring fresh increase into your life. He's going to bring unexpected multiplication into your life. And not only that, you're going to get a sense of purpose, a joy and excitement of getting up in the morning, a fulfillment to your life that you've never had before. How many are willing to do that? Make this next year a year of being generous. All right, let's say this together. Father, I come to you today, and I thank you for your word. And your word clearly shows you want me to be a blessing. So I make a decision. I am going to increase not only what I receive, but what I give. And I thank you now, and I praise you for the people whose lives I'm going to impact. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to be a greater blessing. A couple things let me mention to you. If you're a leader, a business owner, and you'd like to come to a conference unlike anything in the Christian marketplace, I invite you to go to our website, increase.org. Get our information on the Hawaii Increase event. It will be sold out, probably sold out before the end of January, so I'm not trying to get people to come, but I'm trying to get the right people to come. And the thing that makes it unique is we do 4 to 7 speakers a day, and we're done at 1 o'clock. We have great speakers out of the religious arena. This year it's Jensen Franklin, John Bevere, Lisa Bevere, but we also have some tremendous business leaders that are there. And so increase.org, you can get information on a Hawaii event. Also, we have resources available back at the table. I'm not here to sell product. I'm here to change lives. But if you would talk to the people whose lives have been changed by our ministry, there are people that didn't just hear me for 40 minutes on Sunday morning. There are people that drove around with me, and they got a hold of this teaching. They got all the spirit and the thinking behind it. And so if you're only going to get one of our series, I'd recommend this to you. This is what I'm teaching you on today. It's 6 CDs. We have it on Luke 5, what were the changes Jesus had to make? What are the changes you can make to cause increase? One whole CD series teaching on biblical visualization that's really powerful. It's 89 retail, 69 today, 49 if you want to get it on the download card. And then we also have our School of Increase, which is 6 of our leading seminars. On our website, it's $4.95. If you want to get it today, we have them for half price, 3 payments of $81. All I can say is they're life-changing, and it's available. I want to end with this one thought. And by the way, I first want to acknowledge Marlene. So good to see you. Marlene Ostrom, her and her husband were my very first board members back in when we started our ministry in the 1980s and owned several convalescent hospitals in the area. Just so good to have you here. I've trained myself to always be asking why. Why did I think this way? Why did I react this way? Why do I feel this way? Why are we doing this? And it helps us to keep fresh and to keep purpose-oriented in our lives. And so with that thinking, I asked myself this question. Why did Jesus go to that boat and ask to use that boat to speak and then bless that boat? One might say, well, maybe that was the only boat. Well, we know there were at least two. But I personally believe there were many more boats there, because these were not casual fishermen going out for the weekend. These were commercial fishermen that fished at night to bring fish back in to sell at the fish market in the morning for the homes. So I believe if there's a city there, there had to be a fleet of fishing boats. And so I personally, if I would visualize the scene, I see a whole line of fishing boats there. And I see Jesus walking by these fishing boats and going to this one. Is there a way we could figure out why he went to that one? And this is just my opinion. Let's go back to instinctive reactions. Remember, if you want to find out what somebody's really like, look at their behavior and their reaction in times of stress, fear, sudden change. Let's go back to those fishermen. How did they react? They reacted by looking for another boat, not trying to take care of themselves. That was their instinctive reaction. For that to be their instinctive reaction, it had to be the habit pattern of their life. Prior to that, they already had to be givers and people that thought that way, because that's the way they reacted at that time. So they were already people that were trying to be a blessing into other people's lives. I don't know what it was. Maybe they gave free fish away. Maybe they're involved in charities. Well, I don't know what it was, but I believe they were already givers. So Jesus is walking by. That boat's a taker. That boat's a taker. That boat's a taker. That boat's a taker. That boat is owned by a giver. That is the boat I'm going to bless. When you make a decision to become generous and become focused on being a blessing in the lives of others, God is going to cause other people to walk by other homes and other businesses and say, that is the one I want to bless. That's the one that's going to get increase. And that's what I'm believing for you in 2020. God bless you. It's been great being with you.
Hey, Bob, don't leave yet, Dr. Bob. I've told a story here about a man named Dick Withnell, who when I was down and out, you've heard me tell the story, he brought me into his organization, and you have some history there.
It was one of the five worst meetings of my ministry. I wasn't even in ministry at the time. I was in business, in the natural, because this chapter of full gospel, I shouldn't say the group, chapter of this Christian business group asked me to come and speak. The schedule was bad. I had to be back at 8:30 on Tuesday morning for an appointment to do it. I had to drive to Portland, fly Delta to Dallas, take a taxi over to Love Field, take Southwest back. They landed at 8 to get to the 8:30 appointment. I couldn't miss. They only had less than 100 people there. I didn't see any response, hardly. I mean, the audience seemed dead. Three people raised their hand and said,
"If you're a speaker, you understand. You can appreciate this. Nobody's listening. Half the people are asleep." And
three people raised their hand and said, "I want to get saved." And I'm thinking, I went through all of this for three people raising their hand. And then they came up to me after and said, "We're so sorry. We don't have any money in the treasury. We can't pay for your ticket or give you one honorarium. We'll send you monthly payments." And so you just look like a disaster. But one of those three people was the Dodge dealer in Salem, Oregon, who came to hear a Chrysler dealer about his story. That person was Dick Withnell. And a few weeks prior to that, he was so drunk in an elevator, his wife drug him to a room. And she said, "If you don't get your life straightened out, I'm leaving you. I can't take this anymore." And he sits in a meeting, and Jesus becomes his Savior. And not only has Dick ministered to you, but he's one of the greatest givers I've ever been around. He's raised over $1 million for United Way in Portland. He's been honored by two governors of the state of Oregon, making a difference in the lives of other people. And that's our tie-in together, is Dick.
And this, listen to this. I had the privilege of baptizing his son.
I didn't know that.
Yes,
wow.
Laura. Dave and Laura.
So we have a tie-in going back to when we didn't even know each other.
Thank you, my brother.
But the point was, Dick's life, I think of his life and all the millions he's reaching and touching, because he got a hold of this. I'm going to make a difference in the lives of other people. You have no idea the impact your life can have when you catch this focus.
Short story is in this book. I have this book, and I just encourage you, if you want to just be blessed and hear stories of encouragement, be a part of it. You know, next week, thank you. You can go back to the table. Thank you. Let me, here, take this. Next week, we are believing God for increase. Because that's what we do here at Church on the Ridge. One of our core values is increase. We want to see more people come to faith in Christ in 2020 than we did in 2019. We want every single family in this valley to be reached with the cause of Jesus Christ, to help them become fully devoted followers of Him. God is a giving God. We are going to be givers, and what we're doing, our team, our volunteers, we're sacrificing next Sunday. We're starting at 8:30 in the morning. Say 8:30. Yeah, this is the sleepy crowd. You're here, you know, Yeah, so for you guys, you can come on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. About 4 weeks ago, we had 5 empty chairs at the 9 o'clock hour, and it was just packed. If you're here for Christmas Eve, and Christmas Eve, I told you we had standing room only. It was crazy. So we're inviting some of you to be givers, giving up your chair at optimal times to come to the Saturday night or the 8:30 gathering, and then we're going to have a 9:30. Yeah, how does that work? I have no idea, because the preacher's going to preach short. He promised he's going to 8:30. You're going to get the best talk you've ever heard, the best music, the whole thing, 8:30. And then 9:30, we're going to start again, and then at 10:45 and Saturday night, 6 o'clock. So please, next week, if you come at your normal time, we're going to be already... I don't know what we're going to be. What time is this? You will be on time. Yes, because it starts at 10:45, because you're always late anyway. So, yeah, just you guys don't change a thing. We had some folks come last night. We gave the team the night off last night. We had some folks show up at 6 o'clock. So people want to come to church, and we weren't here for them. And it just broke my heart that there was people that desiring to hear the message, and we weren't here. So I'm sorry if that was one of you. Please, we apologize for that. Didn't get the message. Don't be one of those people next week, all right? Be here at the times. And we love you. We want 2020 to be a great year for you as well, a year of increase. God's blessing in your life. If you have not opened up your heart to Jesus, it only works if you say, Lord, I need to be a giver. Jesus proved it. He said, look, if you want to be most like me, be a giver. For God so loved the world, He loved you, that He gave His only Son. That whoever opens up their heart says, I believe that you really are God. Not just a nice man, not just a Christmas story, but you're the God of the universe. And you may not understand a lot of that. You may not even comprehend it. It's like, wow, it seems too weird. But if you will take a small step of faith, say, Jesus, okay, you're something more. The story's real. I need it. And this morning, you could start a brand new chapter in your life, the best chapter you've ever had. For Jesus came to give you your why. Without Him, you're breathing in and breathing out. I got some new shoes. I needed new shoes for Christmas, so I got some new shoes because I don't really have very many. You know, somebody told me you go to hell for lying as quick as you can for stealing. So I take that back. I have a few shoes, but I needed it. What are you going to do? Breathe in and breathe out. Own a new pair of shoes, own a new TV, own a new car, and one day you're going to close your eyes for the last time. And what will you have? Some stuff you leave to your kids. Your TV's going to be outdated. They're not going to want your car because it's too old. Sandy's dad is 92. He's over here at Snoqualmie Hospital. They got him as a neat answer to prayer. He's got a bunch of Lilliput houses. I think mom liked them, and she's been gone for a couple years, but these little Lilliput houses, and, you know, None of the kids want them. What are you going to do with Lilliput houses? And he understands that. He goes, I'm 92, and I don't want my life to be remembered by my Lilliputs. And so in the apartment where he stays for senior living, he started a little Bible study. And he invites these ladies and these men to come in and hear the message of God's love. Because, hey, I'm 92. I only got so much time left. I want to be a giver. If you'll invite Christ into your life at 92, you can be making a difference and leave something more than Lilliputs. I'd like you to close your eyes now and just contemplate that. If you've not given your life, your heart, who you are to the King of the universe, today's your day. A simple prayer, Jesus, I need you. Help me to be different, to live my life with purpose. Amen. Amen. Amen is a biblical word. It means let it be. Let it be. So when we finish talking to God, we then put a little stamp on it and say, let it be, God. All that we just said in our heart, all that we just said with our voice, let it be. God, I believe it. It's a statement of faith. So let 2020 be all that God ordained it to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for tuning into this week's talk. If you want to hear more from Church on the Ridge, check us out on our website at churchontheridge.org/talks or subscribe to our channel wherever you listen to podcasts. We also want to keep you inspired and in the know about what's going on here at Church on the Ridge. Check out our Facebook and Instagram pages where you'll receive daily content that will help encourage you in your walk with Christ and keep you informed about what's going on at Church on the Ridge. Until next time, have a great week. We'll be right back.